Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On Saturday, it's the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary, and October, of course, is the month of the Rosary, which, and at the first Mass, it was the solemnity, the Rosary Sunday, so that we celebrated that as the High Mass, as the primary Mass of the day. The bishop and I have just a couple days ago returned back to the United States from our journey down into Argentina, southern Argentina. And there were many interesting things that took place along that trip, and it was a very good trip for us to be on. But one interesting aspect that I found was that there was a particular image which I saw in many places of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I had to ask about it because I was not familiar with it. And I was instructed and told that it was the image of Our Lady of Luan, and she was the patroness of Argentina. So with that, I had my homework set for me because I wanted to learn about her and I wanted to be able to share that with you all, because it's always exciting to find a new devotion. And so I read about Our Lady of Luan, and it originated in the year 1630. At that time, there was a man from Portugal who moved over to South America and was going to settle in the village of Sumampa in Argentina. When he arrived, though, he was very much surprised. His whole life he had grown up in Portugal with the faith being very strong and that it being all present around him regularly. But yet all of a sudden he found himself in this new world. And in Argentina at that time, while the missionaries were doing great work and striving very hard to convert souls, the faith had just started to begin to take hold. And so not everybody possessed the Catholic faith. And it was a very rough country, and there wasn't aspects of devotion all around. And this man was very surprised to find that he couldn't locate for himself a single shrine in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary anywhere near about him, near around him. So instead of waiting and to see if somebody would change the situation, he took it upon himself. I will make the situation better. And so he wrote to a friend of his whom he had in Brazil. This friend was an artisan, and he wrote to him and said to him, I have no shrines to Our Lady near where I have settled. Can you please send me an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary? The friend was happy to help this farmer out, but there was one thing truly lacking from his letter. It was that he didn't give any description of the type of statue that he wanted to have. So, being that communication was difficult at best at those times, he decided that he would give him a couple of options. He created a beautiful statue in honor of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And then he created a different one where Our Lady is carrying a small infant child, Jesus. And he figured, well, I have two very different statues, both very handsome. I'll send them both to him, and then he can choose which one he wants to set up as a shrine. They both were wrapped up and placed in careful packaging, and because they were nearly made out of terracotta, so it could be fragile. And then they were put on in boxes, and they were placed on a boat, and the boat traveled out from Brazil down to Buenos Aires in Argentina, where it would be collected by the farmer. And there he would load it up on a cart driven by oxen, along with other provisions that he had. And he would join a convoy of a number of carts heading inland, so he would bring it back home. The man met his sacred package and did just that, all of those things. The reason for joining a large convoy was that at that time it was still prevalent for Indians to attack, and they would take advantage of solo travelers or small groups. So they made their way in, and it was a several days' journey. Along the way, they stopped at various points. One part that they stopped at was the home of a pious man named Don Rosendo de Oramus. And Don Rosendo, he was, they camped out in his yard. He had a ranch. And the next morning they woke up and were going to continue their journey onwards. And everybody packed up, everybody loaded up the carts again, and they set out. And all the carts started to move except for one cart. The oxen driving that cart would not budge. Whether it was either the stick or the carrot, they could not be enticed to move an inch forward. Well, it was the cart that had the two statues of the Blessed Virgin Mary on it. They tried and tried again, and they unloaded various points on it, until finally, at the end, they unloaded the statue of the Immaculate Conception from the cart. And in an instant, the beasts started to move. Puzzled by this, they started to walk along and place the statue back in the cart, thinking, well, maybe now that we finally got them moving, we can just reload it. No, as soon as the statue went back in, it immediately halted, and they would not move again until they took the statue out. So it was realized by the farmer, the Portuguese farmer, that there was something in the divine plan that Our Lady wanted to stay here at the ranch of Don Rosendo. And so the statue of the Immaculate Conception was left behind and was to be set up in a shrine right there on his ranch. And the man would continue on with the other statue, with Our Lady carrying the infant Jesus, onto his home in Sumampa. And that is exactly what happened. That statue remains in Sumampa to this day. But when the statue of the Immaculate Conception was being left behind, divine inspiration moved a young boy, an 8-year-old African slave boy, who all of a sudden jumped down from the cart and declared that he too wanted to stay with the statue of Our Lady there at the ranch of Don Rosendo, and that he wasn't trying to change his life, but rather he desired to be a servant of Our Lady above anything else. And so, with Don Rosendo not objecting to him staying, and his master not objecting either, the boy, whose name was Manuel, stayed right there. And he helped to erect the chapel and build the shrine and set Our Lady into it and decorate it and clean inside there and to take care of Our Lady's place. Once the shrine was completely erected, he became the regular sacristan there and helped any pilgrims that would come along. And his main duty was to care for Our Lady and then to do prayers. He was a very happy young lad with this service, and he did so for a number of years. In fact, it was 30 years on when of this faithful service as sacristan, until all of a sudden things changed because Don Rosendo died. When he died, the question became what to do now with not only the land, but the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's a pious woman named Don Ana de Matos who had visited and the statue at one point in time and loved the little statue of Our Lady of Luan. And so she asked for permission to be able to take the statue from this ranch, which was set off away from the normal pathway a bit, was not easy to get to, and moreover, being quite isolated, was open to the possibility of easy Indian attacks upon it. So she asked for permission from the bishop to be able to move the statue to her own property 15 miles away, where people could easily access it and come and honor it, and that it could be well taken care of and safer there. The bishop granted this permission, and she came and she retrieved the statue and brought it forward, had an entire shrine chapel built in Our Lady's honor, and for the first day set the statue into its niche in the chapel. And once it was there, she did some prayers before the statue until evening came, and at that point she locked up the chapel building to protect the statue from any intruders at night. The next morning she woke and went to the chapel to do some more prayers, only to her horror to find the statue completely gone, missing. She looked high and low. She had the servants of the house look everywhere they could, and they couldn't find the statue of Our Lady. And so finally, one of them went back to Don Rosendo's ranch, 15 miles away, and there, sitting upon the pedestal which it had always resided for 30 years, was the statue. And so, naturally, suspicion was that Manuel had come and taken his statue back because he had missed it. Manuel denied this, vehemently denied it. Nobody had anything against the character of the young man. So, while they couldn't be convinced completely that he had nothing to do with it, at the same time, nobody sought to punish him in any way. They just simply returned the statue back to Donna Ana's. That night, the chapel was locked up and chained up tight, and she posted guards in front of it to ensure that nobody could really come and take the statue away this time. And so the guards stood faithfully there, and the next morning she woke up and unlocked the chapel to go and pray, and lo and behold, the statue was gone again. They returned back to the ranch of Don Rosendo, and there it was, sitting on the pedestal. They knew that Manuel could not have stolen the statue back. They knew that he certainly couldn't have gotten past the guard silently, and so therefore they recognized it for the miracle that it was. But a miracle meaning what? It didn't really make sense for the statue to return. So Donna Ana wrote to the bishop again and said, "What am I to do? It doesn't seem like a fitting place for the statue to stay here any longer, but yet it miraculously returns back there without anybody touching it. What should we do?" The bishop prayed about it, and he decided in the end that the statue should be brought back to Donna Ana's place. But this time, instead of just carrying it back, it should be brought in a grand, solemn procession. And moreover, that the pious woman, she should now take Manuel to be a part of her own household, so he can resume his duties as sacristan of Our Lady's shrine. And so it was done. Donna Ana organized the procession. They brought the statue back with all of the pomp and ceremony, and Manuel was allowed to walk right beside the statue in the procession, all the way back to 15 miles to its new home. There it was set again into its niche. Manuel was left with the keys to the chapel and all of the responsibility of cleaning and organizing and decorating and serving the chapel. And lo and behold, the next morning, safe and sound, the statue remained. And it remains there to this day. Many miracles became known to have happened from this statue of Our Lady of Luan. Many healings, many prayers answered, etc. One such great miracle, and soon afterwards it was named, Our Lady of Luan was named the patroness of the country of Argentina. More than 100 years later, in the year 1780, one such great miracle took place. There was all of a sudden a great tumult that was rising up, and people began to hear words of a horrible, horrible scourge coming to their land. There was a tribe of Indians that was descending down from the mountains, and they were going village by village, slaughtering everybody in those villages and burning them to the ground. And as word reached them, they were told that not only was that band of Indians coming towards their village, but moreover, they weren't far away at all. Realizing that there was very little time for them to do anything, and certainly not enough time to pack up their things and leave, the villagers turned and ran to the chapel. They knelt down before Our Lady of Luan, and they prayed and begged for her to protect their village and themselves. And as they knelt there and they prayed, very quickly and very suddenly, in the middle of the day, a very thick fog descended down and covered the entire village. And as the Indians approached, they couldn't see anything that even hinted there might be people in the dense fog bank. It was so thick that they dared not even travel through the fog, but rather made their way around it and continued on their pathway of destruction. Once they were clear out of the way, the fog bank just as quickly lifted, and the village inhabitants found themselves saved by the intercession of Our Lady of Luan. Today is Rosary Sunday, the beginning of the month of the Holy Rosary. And it is by that devotion, more than any other, that we mark ourselves as true servants of Our Lady. Manuel, that young African boy, he's a perfect example for us in the story, because he himself dedicated his entire life to serving this image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, Our Lady, in turn, made sure that he was never left abandoned, he was never left alone, that she always would be connected to him, and he could continue on his loving service of her. The statue would return, he would be permitted to go to the new location, and all would be taken care of, and he would not want. We see that the inhabitants that would come generation after generation afterwards, by their devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, she in turn, one after another, again and again, protected and guided them, especially in their greatest times of need, if necessary, performing miracles to protect them. And it is no different for us if we serve Our Lady faithfully. She will be our protectress and our patroness. But it is up to us to ask ourselves, whom do we serve? Every one of us must serve somebody or something. The world around you will readily remind you of that. How? Because it will try to force you to serve it. It will try to force you to serve the ends of men who are not only fallen and filled with faults, but oftentimes have wicked intentions as their desires, their own personal aims to be served for. And they will force you into a servitude that is very much like chattel slavery, where you're merely possessions. You are things to be discarded when no longer useful. That you are to serve their purposes, slave to their ends, slave to lower base realities, sin, the flesh, and base passions. To find yourself simply grateful to have sustenance of gruel to eat. No, your betterment is not their aim, and so therefore it is by force that they must try to enslave you. But on the flip side, a good mistress, one who desires the good of those who choose to serve, she does not force that upon anybody, but she rather waits for it to be a willing choice to be made by each individual. We can serve Our Lady as faithful Catholics. And in return, what she gives us is not mere sustenance to survive and a serving of lower ends, but rather a true protection and a true love for our souls and our well-being, and a true guidance in our lives, to know truth, to know her Son, to know the pathway to eternal life, to the treasures of heaven and the treasury of graces. All of these things become ours when we faithfully serve Our Lady. She does not need to bind us in chains. She does not need to force us against our will. She does not need to threaten us or to coerce us. No, she welcomes us if we choose. And she gives us a chain not to be lashed to our ankle and to take away our liberty, but rather to be held in our hands and to be held fast to, because it is one that links us to what is good and loving, what is promising of great returns and rewards, one that offers us safety and peace, one that connects us to her and ultimately to heaven. And by that chain, that rosary in our hand, if held to fast, we move along it, one day at a time, one bead at a time, making our way a little closer, drawing Mary a little nearer, gaining one grace after another, until that heaven and our earth grow so close together that they meet. And it is eternal life that we realize and possess because we have been the good and faithful servants. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.